Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I'm going to give you five names. Rank them one through five in the order that you would like to have them starting for your team this week. Geno Smith, Nick Foles, John Football, Matt Castle, and Blaine Gabbert.
I would take Nick Foles simply because, at least in the past, he's been okay. And Gabbert's last. As bad as things are over on Fannin, don't you take Brian Hoyer over every one of those guys?
No question.
How frightening is that?
DK says, where's the outrage for Manziel playing? Just was involved in domestic violence incident. I said the same thing when it happened. I'm surprised that there's been no...
Well, that got washed under the rug really fast.
And I said all along, if John Football were black, he'd be suspended. I don't get why Johnny Football, this is the quote from his girlfriend, hit his girlfriend a couple times when they're drunk, and no big deal.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll get back to your phone calls next segment. So if you want to hang on through that, we'll get to you. But right now, we got to jump on and talk a little gambling with our good friend Willie B. Which, John, can we just have a little bit of the intro there just so I feel right bringing him in? Just a little bit. There we go.
Hello, friends.
All right. My name is Willie. You know what that means. Time for Willie B. FatSideOfTheBacon.com. What's up, brother?
Hey, hello, friends. I was going to say, can we say the G word on here? Are we supposed to say handicapping still? And for entertainment purposes only?
No, we say what we want.
Well, screw that. We
this
always...
This is grown-ass man stuff we're doing here, Willie. We talk about...
That's why I'm on y'all's show.
We bet... You don't even have to say Dr. Peppers. We bet dollars here.
There we go. Hey, I missed you the last 2 weeks, and guess what? Willie went into a little bit of a slump because of it. I was 6-1 last 2 weekends. I couldn't be on your show. I'm 6-3 now. But we've come out of the slide. We've won 5 in a row. Finished strong Sunday with 3-2 pros. We've hit a couple college. When the calendar changes, guys, I always tell y'all, the rules step up. We're fired up for this weekend. I'll just tell you right off the bat, 249 all the way through Christmas Day. So 249, round that up, the old 25, not Turkey Day, Christmas Day, 249, FatSideOfTheBacon.com. I already have my 7 college plays. I think you guys might have them in your hands. My IT guy hit the button a second ago looking out over beautiful Lake Travis that's filled back up over in Austin, AJ. 249 through Christmas Day, guys. Jump on board. FatSideOfTheBacon.com. Y'all fire at me. I'm ready to go.
Well, let me start with one that typically we always look at and we always say, oh, this is a great play when this happens. This is one of your rules, I believe. Washington is at home. They are favored against a ranked Utah team, -1.5 points on Washington. I really like Washington. If it wasn't for that rule, I'd really like Washington because I really like the way they're playing. What do you think of that game?
Well, stole my thunder. As I always tell people, they say, man, you got to have this scripted. The way you talk to Fred and Nate, Dana, it's like, no, they've come to know my rules now. We only have so much time. So what if I told you that I like 7 other games better, but I do like Washington? But you got to have to slice and dice that only keep so many. But I like Washington against Utah. And I actually like that's gone from pick'em to -1.5. So I had to choose one, guys. There's actually another one out there. Because what I did is I looked at where the money was going across America. And there's actually 75% of money on a dog. And when that happens, boy, you better run and usually go the other way. The old Hilltoppers, the old Middle Tennessee, whatever they're called over there, and Middle Tennessee.
That's the Blue Raiders.
Favored over Marshall. That hits numerous rules. So put those together. We've done well doing our little packages or our basket of games. If you play Middle Tennessee, play Washington, I like them both.
At Western Kentucky is the Hilltoppers, just so you know. A couple games tonight I want to ask you about because – we got a double-digit division
dog. Get your hillbilly directional school straight.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, man. But, no, we've got a double-digit division dog in the Browns, and I know that that's something that you're very big on. And then in Kansas State at home against Baylor, getting 17, Baylor changing quarterbacks. Kansas State, of course, has just looked like garbage the last couple of weeks. Is there any value in either of those two games, those home dogs?
Well, Yeah, you know, and the quantity has been 85% for the last 15 years. It's usually a 70% rule for the last 10 years for sure. It's 4-0 already this year. My gosh, if someone's going to bring it down, it would probably be Johnny Football and the Browns, right? But you know what? We put it out as a play. We're going to play it. Because if you look at Dalton and what he's done in his career, you know, the Browns is one of the few teams. I mean, I'm talking horrendous numbers. So we are playing Browns. I did not put out Kansas State. Man, I wish I did. Ranked team on the road, Thursday night football. I just couldn't pull the trigger, beat the game, not the game. So I got another little special nugget there. Hint, hint, we're not even going to say it's actually my favorite game of the night that we're not going to talk about. But I do like Snyder. If you look at his record against the spread, coming back off back-to-back losses, oh, my gosh, it's 85-90%. So I like the Browns. Like it, don't love it. Kansas State and the Browns tonight.
A couple of big games on Saturday, and I'm trying to stay away from your plays as I look at them here too. So, I don't want to get into
– Fred, I don't care. You can talk about a couple of them. That's fine.
All right. I'm looking at LSU-Alabama, which is right now 6.5, and LSU getting 6.5 at Alabama. The number seems about right to me, but I do think LSU can win this football game. Am I crazy on that?
Sometimes you just don't want to outthink things, and I just literally here, I came out of the numbers myself, and I just think LSU's as good, a better football team, and could win the game, but it's not going to surprise me if Alabama does cover the number, but let's take the points, because I really think LSU might be special. I think Fournette is special. What gets LSU beat here is obviously their quarterback play. If he just does not throw the picks, does not turn the ball over, I think LSU has a great chance of winning the game. Give me the points. Yes, sir.
What about your Aggies giving 7 to Auburn at Kyle Field?
Don't like it at all. In fact, I have a one of my oldest clients that used to be with me with Lance Zerline, Pigskin Sports back in the day, lives down in El Campo. He is very sharp. He gives me his top 3 plays every week. He is very sharp. His favorite, one of his favorite plays this week, I knew he was coming with it, was Auburn. When I saw that line go from 8 to 7, I went, oh, no, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to 6.5 by kickoff. What's the total in that game? Don't you see a lot of points being scored again? I think it's going to be like the A&M South Carolina game. So I would lean to the over, and I would definitely lean towards Auburn plus the points.
59.5, by the way, the number there.
And I guess the only thing that screws that up is the wind and the rain, and, you know, you got to look at the weather. But I like Auburn in the points.
You know, there's a couple of these games in the Pac-12 that jumped out at me, and I mentioned the Washington game. Lines that just seem kind of fishy. Another one is Cal getting 4.5 points against Oregon, who hasn't been very good. But the one that really jumped out was Washington State is a 3-point favorite against Arizona State. And if you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have said Arizona State's probably favored by double digits, you know, maybe healthy double digits, even at Washington State. What do you think of when you, like, you know, I know week to week is one thing, but have we seen enough of these two teams that Washington State should be favored by 3 points against Arizona State?
You know, I think we have, AJ. I really do. I've stayed up and watched the dadgum Washington State-Stanford game last week. Washington State can play. They're physical. It's not just the happy throw-it-around reach. I think this team's pretty physical, and they showed that to play Stanford's off their butts to a 2-point game. And this game started at a pick. So to go to 3.5 and go through the proverbial 3, I'm telling you, I was this close from putting Washington State as a play. Stayed off of it, but I do. I like Washington State at home. Arizona State, no defense. Can't take no defense on the road. Go Washington State.
I can't do it because Kansas is the worst team maybe in all of college football, but how on earth can Texas be a 28.5-point favorite after being shut out by Iowa State?
No comment, because Iowa State was one of our few college wins last week, thank goodness. We're not going to have that kind of bad guy. That's why I'm so fired up on college, because when I go 2-5, 2-6, I'm coming back like a banshee this weekend. You can tell in my voice. But I just got no comment, because my deal is why is it only 28? I mean, Kansas has problems. I feel for the coach. I hope he turns it around. Why is it only 28? No comment. No, wouldn't surprise me if Texas wins 49-0. Wouldn't surprise me if Kansas played them to 10 or 17 like they did Tech, so no comment on that at all. Hey, I know we might be getting close on time, so I just want to say there's one rule that raised its head in the pros that I absolutely liked as much as I do the quad D's guys, and it's this. When a dog on the road wins straight up and goes back home the next week and has a dog again, 85% cover. It's been as strong as my quadruple D's through the years. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as much as I hate to say it, and I don't like Winston personally, but hey, they're gelling. So they beat Atlanta on the road as a dog, coming back home, still underdog status, playing against, I think the dadgum NFC East, they could all have five losses by the end of the weekend, too. Tampa beats the Giants. Dallas beats Philly. It's going to be like the Colts and the Texans. We're all going to have five losses. How about that?
I got one more to hit you with. I got, well, I say one more. I'll give you two choices, but I like a couple of these underdogs that are playing against highly regarded teams this week. Oklahoma State's still undefeated, but they are clearly not respected as TCU is. They're getting about 5 points. And I think Pittsburgh is actually a pretty good football team.
I like that play a lot.
And they're getting 9 points against Notre Dame, who isn't exactly, you know, blowing people away. Both those seem like you're getting some pretty good value on the dog, yes?
You are, and I've watched the lines, and I'm seeing the Notre Dame-Pittsburgh line kind of creep up from 7.5 to 9. I'm not as high on Pittsburgh. Oh, you're hitting the hot button there. Did you save it for the last? Blow the whistle, John. Come get the whistle out. We got 90% rules. We got rules galore. And, hey, when you play defense like TCU and your favorite on the road, and we've gone against them before with Kansas State. We've gone against them with Iowa State, small loser. TCU pulled away at the end. Give me Oklahoma State, even though that's to be with that offense. Give me the fight. I really think this is a field goal game either way. This could be the shocker that disrupts stuff because I really don't think Kansas State, even though they might get inside the number tonight, is not going to win the game. But this, hey, it's going to start now. The disrupt, the numbers, top four, top eight, it's going to change like crazy. I think this starts at Oklahoma State plus the points. They win the game straight up.
All right, that's Willie B. Fatside of thebacon.com. Tell them one more time about the special, Willie.
$249, guys, all the way through Christmas Day. $249 through Christmas Day. I got 7 college plays. I'm going to have 6 pro plays. I know that's kind of a lot, but I just, out of those 13, we're going 10-3, baby. 9-4, 8-5 at worst. I think we go 10-3. Fatside of thebacon.com. Jump on right now. Hit the button to get your college plays immediately. Guys, I appreciate your time. Bring the luck back to Fat Side. We've had a couple wins. It kind of goes in stages. Over 6-3 for the weekend. Big one this weekend. I appreciate your time.
All right, Willie B. Fat Side of the Bacon.com, as Justin says. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. We come back. We'll blitz through a couple of your phone calls. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I'll teach you all the rules that'll make old Vegas sweat. With confidence, you'll have no fear. Make that big time bet.
ESPN 97.5.
Cowboys, Eagles, NFL, 7 p.m. Sunday. Presented by All American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people asking about the Cincinnati UH game. That number's 8. My instinct tells me to take Cincinnati, but realistically, I'm not. The way Houston is toying with teams right now, I know Cincinnati's good. The only 3 losses have been to Temple and Memphis and BYU, and they can score a lot of points. But that Houston defense is going to force some turnovers. I am more interested in the over 73.
Hey, what's the number you've got now on Cleveland-Cincinnati?
Let me check.
Because I'll tell you, both my sites that I use regularly
13
are up to 13. Yeah. I was going to say. It's rising in a hurry.
It is.
I don't know. I might wait and then play it at 14.
I really want to play them.
I'll make a decision at 7. But to me, Cleveland's looking more like a play.
If it keeps moving, it gets to 14. I would definitely play them. And I'm looking at Kansas State too. I'm going to keep an eye on that number.
I just made a play on Kansas State. I mean, just a small play, but I just have some interest.
All right. Well, we got till. I'm going to have 10 minutes on that, so I'm going to have to make up my mind. Let's grab a phone call. Phil, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Just wondering, I kind of wanted to get you all's opinion, by the way, sports.
Sports to you.
Wanted to get you all's opinion on this paid patriotism story that broke today. As a veteran, it's really disconcerting as to what I've been hearing. that, you know, Major League Baseball teams, professional football teams, the NFL, basketball teams have been accepting these payments from the Department of Defense for functions, events involving the National Guard, various active duty military branches. And the only professional organization that has spoken up about it, Roger Goodell from the NFL, has said that he is going to be returning any of these payments. But what concerns me is why they were even taken in the first place. Just want to kind of get you guys' opinion, and I'll hang up and let you guys go from there.
Well, I mean, I guess, to me, it's wrong. And I'm actually kind of bummed out because the Astros had me out there one time as a, you know, like one of those honored veteran guests. And I went out there and I thought it was a pretty cool deal they were doing. And when I find out that they're taking money from the military, which, first of all,
I thought the Astros came out and said that they weren't doing that.
The Astros were listed on the thing saw yesterday.
All right. Well, then what I saw was a denial then.
Maybe that's the case. I hope that's the case because that's really disappointing in my opinion. But you know what? Businesses look for whatever ways they can to make money. So am I shocked? Not really. But
well, here's part of what I think it is. The branches of the military have marketing money that they use to advertise with. You see the ads all over the place on TV. Should do more on radio. But they do them on TV, and I'm sure that that's part of their marketing budget is for events like that. And I do think if teams are taking money to do these things, then that's one where somebody has to step in and say, no, Dad, we don't need your advertising budget money for this. We want to do this because it's the right thing to do. So I think it's a little cheesy. I can see how it started. And, yeah, I read about this about 6 months ago, so I don't know what's really new about the story other than I guess they went through and looked at everybody that did it. But I know the NFL was doing it, and I didn't realize it at the time. But I do think that it shouldn't be happening. And I could see how it started, but I think these leagues should have at some point just said, hey, man, no, we're having you guys out here to honor you. You don't need to be paying for it.
Now, here's what Reed Ryan had to say. And I actually know Reed, and he's a stand-up dude, so maybe I'm inclined to believe him. But the report says the Astros accepted $25,000 in 2013 for a National Guard appreciation night, which included one swearing-in ceremony, one suite for up to 14 guests, 50 community tickets, and a ticket discount for Texas Army National Guard or Air National Guard, friends and family, and four dugout tickets for a total of 12 Astros home games. Now, Reed Ryan says, the Astros do not charge the U.S. military for on-field ceremonies honoring our veterans or active troops. Any reports that state otherwise are simply not accurate. The Astros have partnered on one occasion with an ad agency representing the U.S. military in sole support of a recruitment campaign. He says the suite and tickets involved in this arrangement were donated by the Astros. There was no charge. We are proud to recognize the service of our veterans and active military members, which we did at every home game in 2015 and will continue to do. So conflicting reports is what it looks like, unless they're saying that the $25,000 was strictly for the advertising and all the tickets and everything else were throw-ins.
Yeah, and that may be the case. And if it went through an agency, why are you doing that anyway? That's another story. But I can see where that might have happened. But I didn't think any of the stuff that they did, like what they did with you, they were getting money for. And I think that's what he's saying. So I tend to believe him.
Yeah.
I don't have any reason not to. All right, let's try David.
It's one of the few people like who works for these major sports franchises that like I actually trust when he says something to me. So
I'm trying to think.
You got a list of guys that you trust that you don't?
I do, but you know, one of them will just piss people off because everybody's mad at him right now, but I trust him if he tells me something. Let's try David. What's up, David?
Hello. Hey, sports to you guys.
Hey, sports to you.
You know, I was reading a guy in the Statesman, and I listened to Rod Baber's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that was interesting was, you know, they brought up a strong Freudian slip in, like, talking about Miami. But he made an interesting comparison in comparing Strong to an old A&M coach, Francione. And I'm just very curious of your thoughts on that comparison. I think he was saying basically, like, Francione went from, what, like, Texas State to forget the his trail to A&M, where he was given the keys to the you know, Porsche, basically, and he couldn't get it done. And
well,
I actually,
you're missing a step in there. He went Texas State to TCU to Alabama, and he left Alabama for A&M, which everybody was surprised by.
Right. Sorry about that.
I think he went Texas State to New Mexico, and then
TCU. New Mexico, then TCU, but from basically TCU to Bama, but then he took a step down from Bama to A&M.
Right. Well, it's. I mean, he made the comparison that, you know, basically equating Troy Strong with, do we have a Francione on our hands here? Because it's very, very frustrating to see that, you know, and again, they say, you know, if you take out Teddy Bridgewater from Strong's Louisville teams, he wasn't that good. He didn't have a great record. And so he caught, maybe he says, like, you know, kind of like just with the fact that he caught fire in a bottle at the right time, but really at the end of the day, what you have is like a Francione, a guy who's kind of overwhelmed, doesn't know how to really run a program.
Well,
and I kind of want your thoughts on that.
I will say Rod is very close to that program, and he's very well in touch with the players and the people around that program. I don't know if I'm ready to throw that on the man. You know, like, and don't get me wrong, Dennis Francione did some good things in his coaching career. He did well at Alabama. I always thought it was strange that he left Alabama for A&M,
right?
Because he was building something pretty nice at Alabama, it seemed. But whatever the reason, it just didn't work there. It wasn't a good fit. Sometimes there's good coaches who aren't a good fit in certain places. And
well, we've seen Rich Rodriguez was not a good fit in Michigan.
But Rich Rodriguez is definitely a good football coach.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Charlie Strong is the best fit for Texas. Like, when you think about all the things that he says he represents and all the things that he holds, you know, holds high, you'd think that's what Texas is looking for, because that's historically what they have looked for in a coach. He just doesn't – it's not working. And I don't know if it's official that he's just a complete and total bust, but, I mean, they look worse this year than they did last year, and last year they looked worse than they did in Max last year. Yeah. So
– but I don't think the Francione comparison works, because A&M gave him 5 years.
That's true.
And this is year two. And to your point on Bridgewater, there was only one seat. He only – coached 4 years at Louisville. He had Bridgewater basically for three of those. So in those years where Bridgewater was Bridgewater, they were 11-2 and 12-1, 7-6 his first 2 years. So I just think it comes down to, is he the right fit for this job? And hey, Texas is too big a job for a lot of guys. He wouldn't be the first.
No.
But we shall see. All right. Quick break. What do we have coming next? You got an interview, didn't you?
Oh, we're doing that today, John? All right, we'll talk to Vitor Belfort on the other side.
All right, it's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Joining us now on the program is one of the legends of the sport. I've been watching him as long as I can remember, back to when I was in high school, 1997, his UFC debut. Vitor Belfort on the program. Vitor, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, man. Thanks for asking. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Now, this is a fight with Dan Henderson. You guys have done this a couple times before. Some really classic fights between you guys. Is this a fight that you're excited for? Is it exciting to fight a guy that you fought twice before as it is to fight someone you're fighting for the first time?
Yeah. You know, I'm very excited and very content to fight an athlete like Dan.
Fighting Dan in Sao Paulo, is that does that make it different for you?
It's great, man. You know, it's a cage. You know, the octagon is the same. You know, being in Brazil, it's fantastic. You know, it's a place that not just I was born, but I fought so much for my sport in Brazil. And today we have a major, major platform. So it feels like you know, I'm having the chance to earn what I pave the way, you know, so very blessed.
You know, I know you get this all the time, people asking you about how long you plan to compete. You're 38 years old now. When you see a guy like Dan Henderson who's 45, does it encourage you that you can continue to do this sport for the next 5 to 10 years?
For sure. You know, I start so early. You know, Dan doesn't start too early like I did. But, you know, I admire for this motivation. You know, I think Dan is a fantastic athlete. And of course, I'm not looking to go that far. But, wow, what amazing, amazing way to go too. So,
how many fights?
Sure, it's a motivation for everybody.
How many fights do you think you have left in you?
I don't know. That's a tough question, man. You know, tomorrow's a promissory note. Yesterday's a canceled check, and today's cash on hand. I'm happy with what I have now. So, just make sure, you know, every day I wake up and say, "Wow, what a great day! Let's win the day." That's my mindset.
For you, is it a matter of fighting until you feel like you're not fighting at a championship level anymore? If you feel your skills start to slip away, are you going to look to step away at that point?
I think your body would tell. I think you cannot lie to your body. You know, glad that I'm not fighting for a paycheck. I'm fighting because I love, and the paycheck is great. It'd be better, but it's great, and I do what I love, and I cannot complain.
When you were in that midst of where you lost, you know, five out of seven fights back in 2004, 2005, 2006, did you think you were reaching the end of your career at that point?
I don't see loss like the end. It's just one opportunity to bounce back. You know? I think, you know, the greatest champions in the world, they came from some loss, some sort of defeat. You cannot be an overcomer if you don't have nothing to overcome. So if you're a winner, you got to have a fight.
Talk about your fight camp. I know you've got a new camp. What's it been like for you compared to what you were doing at the Black Zillions, and why did you decide to make that change?
It just was the time. I have a private facility. You know, I always work with people that work with me. You know, even then, when I was in Black Zealand, I had the people that I used to bring. So the same people that are with me, and of course, we always adding some additions. You know, but very happy, man. OTB is the gym, the office that they work with me, and they made a private facility for me, and very happy, blessed to have that place for me.
You know, you've always been pretty upfront about the TRT uses and people discussing that with you, and you've never been one to duck it. You do point out often that, you know, there were 14 guys and you seem to have been kind of the scapegoat for the thing. Is that a thing that still bothers you to this day?
No. You know, it is what it is, but I'm still on it. You know, I'm still doing TRT. You know what I'm doing?
What's that?
True Revival Touch.
What does that mean exactly?
TRT, True Revival Touch. That's the meaning of TRT now. Still doing, man. I'm getting touched by God every day, and I don't have problem. You know, I don't have problem with that. Unfortunately, sport doesn't allow anymore, and it is what it is.
Does not being on the testosterone replacement, does it affect your daily life? I mean, does it medically bother you not to be able to be on that?
Medically, I need it, you know. Actually, not just me. Whoever has that kind of, you know, medically, we need it. But we cannot do it. You know, the sport doesn't allow it. So the sacrifice that you have to pay to do what you love. And I'm doing. And you just got to move forward, you know. I don't try to think that if. You know, I don't like the word if, because if is always something that's never going to happen. Either it is or not. So you got to go with that.
The UFC, and you've addressed it at times, I guess sort of vaguely, but the your testosterone levels at UFC 152, did the UFC ask you not to talk about it?
No, they never asked me not to talk about it. No, we always, my doctors and they always talk very openly. But the only thing, you know, I think one of my exams, my private exam, when we're just doing the treatment, and they end up sharing with a bunch of guys, and somebody gave it to a reporter that I was trying to trap. Hey, I'm gonna release that. We always say, well, do whatever you have to do, because nothing was illegal. I didn't hide anything from anybody else.
The last three fights that you've lost were all title fights. Anderson Silva, John Jones, Chris Weidman. You get to that level and you've come up short in those last three attempts. I mean, do you feel like this is the first step towards another title shot? Do you still feel like you are a at the level where you can be a champion in the UFC today?
I'm no doubt about it. I have what it takes, but you know, you gotta take one fight at a time. You cannot try to make plans. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. You may not wake up alive. You know, so you gotta be a good steward with your time, what you have now. So I'm a couple of days away for a big fight. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Besides your own fight, what fights on the card are you looking most forward to down there?
I'm here to win, man. I'm focused on my fight. I'll look the card after, but that night, it's about me and focus on me. And of course, we have the fans will have a tremendous card, and no doubt about it, great fighters in the card. But I'll enjoy the fights after.
All right, that's Vitor Belfort. He takes on Dan Henderson at UFC Fight Night. Belfort Henderson 3. That's going to be on Saturday. Co-headlined by Glover Teixeira, Patrick Cummins, undefeated prospect Thomas Almeida on that card. Should be a great one, and it's live and free, so there's no reason for you guys not to be watching this thing. Dan Henderson is the opponent. Vitor Belfort is the man I've been speaking with. Thank you so much, Vitor. Best of luck. I'm looking forward to this rubber match between you guys. Two legends of the sport. It's always a fun time to see you guys go at it, and best of luck to you down the road, man.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Vitor Belfort.
Sounds like Vitor just got off his mattress.
Maybe.
And he probably should have got it from Texas Mattress Makers. Forget those Black Friday sales at Texas Mattress Makers. They always make it easier. It's Black November. You can enjoy a 40% savings off select mattresses in all standard sizes. So just think about this. A custom-fitted queen size usually costs you $699. During Black November, it's $299. And keep in mind, you go to a retail store, pay a whole bunch of money. You go to Texas Mattress Makers, a queen for $699, custom fitted, high quality, made for you to sleep better. Well, $299 this month. You not only get the factory prices because they make the beds, but you also get custom fitted for a bed made for your body. And we all sleep differently. That's why I have a different bed than AJ has, and you'll get a different bed than us, because they are going to custom fit it so you sleep better. And they take care of blitzers over at Texas Mattress Makers. You can experience the best in custom quality beds. Go visit them right now. 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood. All kinds of great things going on. Top of the line twin size was $499. You can get it for $249. Custom king size was $899. You can get it for $399. They're different. Basically, they're available in firm, plus, and pillow top. So go by, check them out. See you all in the gang. Tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. They are going to take care of you. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price. 4619 Navigation, TexasMattressMakers.com. Yeah, the whole family. Tell me what am I saying? I got the idea.
Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. We're having lunch out on Fridays. Each Friday, John and Raheel and Unfiltered will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Kick your weekend off right with ESPN 97.5 and the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas coming up next at 7 o'clock. And just if you you have a few extra dollars to spare, I retweeted the link to my wife's trying to raise money for Special Olympics by rappelling. And if, I kind of want her to die doing it. So if you'd like to see me be single again, then throw a few bucks in there. But because she's a little bit short of her goal, so got a few days left to do it, but I tweeted out the link and should be fun. All right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Thank you, Fred. And it always seems to happen this way, but right about the time that it's time for me to do Hoffman on Hollywood,
this happens every week.
Not every week.
No, but I would say at least twice a month.
Every few weeks. And to be fair, I've got it almost all the way pulled back up now.
Okay.
Because
I'm sure I could come up with some Hoffman on Hollywood.
Well, I always save it in my... the problem is I try to open everything at once.
Yeah.
And it's all stuff that I have, like, archived to use later on, like, during this portion of the show.
Right.
And then about that time is when John was saying earlier he was having internet difficulties. About that time I'm having internet difficulties.
It kind of varies who has them when. Like, I'll have them when you're not having them, and then John has them, and then you have them when I'm not... It's very strange.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not letting me pull this up.
I'll do a Hollywood thing. Did you see Jon Stewart signed a 4-year deal with HBO to do stuff for HBO Go and things like that?
I did that. Supposedly, it's like, I mean, I guess he was doing something like 22 minutes a night for Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And now he's like, he said that was kind of just whooping my ass. And now he's saying he could do a few minutes here and there. And I guess they're not asking him to work like a whole bunch.
No, but they're also going to produce some of his movies and stuff, so it's kind of a good deal for him. Somebody asked earlier what I thought of the new Daily Show with Trevor Noah. I've only watched it a few times. I just have to say he doesn't appeal to me at all.
Why?
I just don't find him very interesting or very funny.
Because he's foreign?
No, because I love John Oliver. John Oliver's as foreign as they come. It's something about him, and I guess I'm not the target audience, but apparently, just looking at the ratings, both for him and Larry Wilmore, not very good right now, so it's not just me. But I just don't find him very... He's just kind of odd and not appealing to me. That's all the Hollywood I have, by the way.
That's all right. Yeah, I've got a couple...
I could talk about... I'm caught up on The Leftovers.
What do you think so far?
I think episodes 1, 2,
and 4... It's the craziest show ever, right?
It's out there. I'd say episodes 1, 2, and 4 are fantastic. Episode 3 I didn't enjoy, and then it was too much Matt on Sunday, but I love how it's setting up.
Okay. Police executed a judge's order to enter Lil Wayne's Miami Beach mansion on Tuesday, and they were taking some items out of the home. The raid was apparently there's a bunch going on. It's like a civil case, and he didn't want to pay up, and I guess now they're coming to get some of his stuff for it. He was being sued by his private jet company for failing to pay a $55,000 per month lease on his Gulfstream. A judge ruled that he'll have to pay $2 million in late fees and court costs. To recover that cash, they authorized a break order, basically giving them permission to storm Wayne's house to obtain his assets. The initial request was denied because the judge said they hadn't proved that he had property inside the home. But after they were able to obtain photos proving that he did have assets, inside the home, which is currently up for sale, a judge signed a new order, and they broke in and got a bunch of stuff. Not exactly detailed yet what they took. But they were all, they basically came, walked in, and left with everything that they could get their hands on in there.
Oh, boy.
So, pay your bills, guys. You interested in Spectre, the Bond movie?
Yes, I am a little bit. I like the Bond movies.
It set the record for the biggest opening for any Bond movie ever.
Really?
80.12 million opening weekend.
It looks pretty good.
Breaking the record set by Skyfall. Sorry, I don't have much. I can't pull up my other stuff.
That's all right.
Bummed out, but
we got some Jon Stewart in there.
So I had some stuff about the Hateful Eight, which I can't pull up the story. The new Tarantino movie. Maybe we'll do some Hollywood stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll be talking about the new Tarantino movie at some point.
Got to pay our internet bills.
Yeah, No kidding. I blame Jong.
We don't want people coming in here taking our stuff.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. I give Jong a serious A-plus today. Give Hoffman a serious A-plus. You know, second day in a row where I've actually contributed, so I'm going to give myself a...
You did do that, yeah. That Hollywood story.
Yes, I got in there late, C-plus. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.